Tonight, I sighted the microphone for the green light to the speed trap. Rickerino and Jody calls them as they seize them, and you better believe them. Here, relevant news, biased opinion, and outright nonsense regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gasp! It's mechanical trickery never before broadcast over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrilled to the explosive tension as Ray and Joe cuss each other down track, barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disaster as they shake hands with the devil. All that and so much more at high noon this Sunday on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and the Live Feed, Ray Garino and Joe D. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free. Every Sunday at noon on WHBC. Take the Hempstead Turnpike to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway sign. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass.
All righty, Joe. Here we are for another week of Motormouth Radio with your host, Ray Guarino, Joe D., my wingman, XO, and my
fellow kind of sort of amateur disc jockey.
Yeah, my man on the mic. We just got done with a rousing 2 hours of free-for-all. I encourage people to check that out. Go and listen to it on the replay next Saturday between 5 and 7.
And we also just let Rob out. Boy, he went running for that bathroom.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
yeah. As a matter of fact, I think I'm going to leave the door open a little bit on the closet there.
Good idea.
Yeah, yeah. You know where the fan is? Or the Febreze?
Okay. Yeah. So now we basically put the Hurst shifter and made the biggest gear change that
step on the clutch.
Double clutch it because we're going from the music show to now Motormouth Radio, Long Island's only automotive talk show where you can talk about music. We'll talk about that. And anything automotive. We had a guest lined up to give us a break, but that fell apart, so
yeah, nobody gives us breaks, you know.
Here we are. You can give us a call, 516-572-7440, if you want to talk about car stuff or something that's happened to you.
It's got wheels, motors, you know, if it gives you trouble, bring it on.
I wanted to mention, last week I'd made a note. I had taken this probably happened to you, Joe. I took my Pontiac out for a ride. It was a nice day, like today is.
Mm-hmm.
And all you got to do is go out in an old car, and you get instant recognition. I mean, you know the way people look at you.
Is that one of them on every street corner?
I'm telling you something. It is if you want to be the man of the hour or just be looked at, that's all you got to do.
Just drive a classic, yep.
Let's look at the phones and go back here and say, hi, you're on with the Motormouths.
Hey, good morning, Ray. Good morning, Joe. It's the Bronc.
Hey, Bronc.
How are you guys doing?
Fancy
today,
meeting you here.
Know? Right, you're talking about old cars. You take the look. People look in, they rubberneck. They turn around. They crash into trees. They drive into the side of your car. It's wonderful when I drive my car. I just can't wait to do it more often. Which brings
they let you
to,
have trees out there?
I'm sorry?
You have trees out there? I thought you just had like cactuses and
California.
Stuff.
Now, I live in a high desert where you get a lot of brush, that kind of thing, desert
mm-hmm.
plants.
Right.
And then the trees grow in the mountains.
Right.
So these idiots from California, what they like to do is say, oh, we like green. So now they plant grass and trees, and it's ridiculous. You look like a shopping mall in outside Long Island, you know, during the springtime.
Yeah, a little bit of home.
Well, isn't that like painting the concrete green in front of the house?
No. And then a lot of these homeowner associations, you got to have X amount of percentage of grass. So who the hell grows grass in the desert? So they're a bunch of morons. So they plant all these stupid trees, and now you got leaves that you got to rake, which I hate. I hate gardening. I like the Italian garden, concrete and plastic. Yeah. Right, Joe?
Yeah, that's what we grew up with. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
You got that right.
Absolutely. So that's why, you know, it's ridiculous out here as far as that goes. So that they changed it the last 10 years since I'm here. I'm here like, 13, 14 years now, is that they're changing the whole environment, and they're trying to make like California and act like Californians. You know,
well,
I'm hoping the mothership comes and takes them all home.
Yeah, they go where the money is, you know?
No, that's what it is. And well, it's because it's so freaking cheap out here compared to California and New York. You know, so what I pay in 1 year taxes of everything was 1 month in Long Island.
Because that's where people from here go to retire so they can keep a tight purse string on their money until they die.
Exactly, right. I live better on pension out here than working two jobs in New York, which is crazy.
I believe it.
You know?
Go figure.
So So it pays. Plus the weather's nice year round, but that's, you know, getting sidetracked. You know, you guys ever want to take a vacation, you know, you're more than welcome to come out. It's an easy flight. You know, JFK right to Reno. You know, nonstop, $300 round trip.
And boy, are your arms tired at the end.
Lake Tahoe and all the other happy crap. So you got an open door anytime you want.
Much appreciated. So what are you up to this week, bro?
Take advantage of it. We're talking about the old cars, and we had three installments, so I got the fourth installment, and see if this hits home, right, for everybody that's thinking of doing a restoration or has been through it at this point. I think this makes sense because this is the one that really gets me. This is part four. You start to reassemble the project. So here we go. The frame is returned from sandblasting, the powder coating, which is a trade-off for a new kitchen remodel. The body parts were sent to the paint shop. You took out a second mortgage on your house. About this time, the engine rebuilder called you with bad news. The only good part of the engine is the oil pan. So now you got to take a new job to get a new engine. With everything back on your side of the garage, you start your reassembly. Your friend comes over, who started you with this nonsense, asks if you took pictures during disassembly, and you said, no. This means a lot of trial and error and a lot of bad words, putting things back together, and a lot of bloody fingers. After parts are taken out of storage, you discover many of the nuts and bolts are badly worn and can't be used, so you become best friends with the counter guy at the fastener shop. You learn about cost, fine, SAE, metric, and ISO threads, and how much the little damn things cost. You also discover gaskets and seals don't last forever, so back to the parts store. The pusher takes one look at the wiring, and you go online for a new wiring harness. You learn a new vocabulary when hooking up the wires and how many extra wires you have. Where does this go? Where does that go? Being colorblind makes the job almost impossible, so a local steakhouse now has on a weekly reservation with at least two bottles of wine ready at your table. One day, your wife drops into the garage and introduces herself and the family and suggests you spend the holidays in the house. She also cuts up your credit card, hides the checkbook, and cancels the beer delivery. You are now on an island of poverty, and you are up until 4:30 delivering newspapers. The regular job now requires two or three energy drinks to get you through the day. The beer cooler is empty and all your help disappears. You're solo and you're doing many things two or three times before things fit. About the time you're ready to drop the engine in place, you fall asleep in the garage and wife wakes you up in time for you to go to your regular job. You miss the paper delivery and you get fired. Your boss called you into the office and tells you your habit is out of control, and you're on probation at work. You now seek help and find there's no support group for OCD, old car deficit. You try to go cold turkey and lock the garage.
The voice of Nassau Community College.
It's all I listen to.
90.3 WHPC.
WHPC HD, Garden City.
Available on the iHeartRadio app.
Hi, you still there?
Yeah, we're here.
Oh, okay. I just had an commercial cutoff. All right? You try to go cold turkey and lock the garage. The next day, you cut off the lock and you fall back into it. Next, you try to tape off and set a time limit for your work. This works for a week, and then you tell yourself one more hour, turns into two, and you lost the battle. About the time you hit bottom, the car is finished. Next Saturday, you roll the car out for display. Your fellow junkies stop by and inspect your work. Each is quick to point out flaws and mistakes, but encourage you to do it over again correctly, more time and more money, and now you have to sell your blood. As the snow melts and the cruises start, you're very proud of your creation. Invite the family to go with you on a quest of a trophy. You have a great time with your fellow junkies, telling stories and kicking tires. Before long, the kids' sports take over the weekends, and your treasure sits in the garage forgotten. On the first free day you have, you go to a show and shine and find a new guy looking at your car. Now you enter the next phase, hooking a sucker. You offer the guy a beer, take him for a ride, and learn about how much time and money it takes to do an old car. You invite him over to your house to sample the life. You plan on selling your car and returning to normal. However, there is no cure. That's where we're at this point.
You got that right.
Yeah, that's right? How does that sound so far? Does that hit home yet?
It's a lifelong addiction, that's for sure.
Right, and it keeps going on. Right, so now, you know, and I'm guilty of it, and you guys are too. I'm selling one of my cars. I'm selling a Zimmer. Uh-huh. Because now my honey, all right, there's also a little bit of a car buff. She wants a sand rail out here to go sand railing over in the desert and the different hills out here. So my next project, if I sell the Zimmer, is to build a sand rail, which I have never done before. So that should be an interesting thing.
Excellent.
So go back to square one.
Yeah.
Look for one, find one, disassemble, and rebuild.
Excellent. All right, Bronco, we're going to move on.
Consider this a cautionary tale.
Keep us in the loop about the sand rail, because that's a pretty cool project.
Yeah, it should be be something different. So I'm looking forward to that, and hopefully that'll start in the springtime. So we'll see what happens from there. Well, keep in touch, guys. You know,
all
and
right,
sometimes
we'll
give a call when you feel like BSing. And take care and have a great week.
Okay, Bron.
You too. Take care, Bron.
Take care, guys.
So look.
All righty. Now that we have got
expounding on the evils of car restoring.
Absolutely. Another thing I want to talk about that has been following me for a few weeks is this came up again on the Thursday Night Plane and Traffic Show. Do it, Lou Santiago. You can check it out on his Facebook page. Was guys' preferences, you know, Joe, we've talked about this. We all have it. Preferences for either products or services, like, you know, spark plugs that you prefer, brake pads, oil is big one, oil filters. I mean, guys get into this ad nauseum, and the forums are light up with this stuff. But
absolutely. There was a matter of fact, one of the trade magazines had, they did a survey, and consumers basically go by brand recognition.
Yes.
Well, you know, as opposed to, say, price or other stuff, that brand recognition is a big thing amongst how people select what products they're going to buy.
Oh, hell yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I do it. I've done it with tools. I do it with automotive stuff. I've done it with cameras. I do it with audio gear. I think we're all kind of...
It's the name, yeah. You get used to the name. You establish some kind of, I'll say relationship, but some type of... you're comfortable with what that particular company puts out.
Part of it is you know what works. So you know if this product has performed for you in the past, it is a good chance it's going to perform in the future again.
Yeah, yeah. It's the reputation of the company. You know,
so
maybe also other things like, say, customer service and so forth, you know?
Right, right. So
because and it goes the other way, too. Where and I've kind of run into this a few times as far as... Like 25 years ago,
mm-hmm.
I was trying to track down a miss on this car that we had recently tuned up. And I pulled it, you know, I went through the regular checks. This is kind of before scan tools and whatnot. This is like the early 90s.
Before scan tools.
Well, this particular car was not a scan tool friendly vehicle.
Right.
So I'm sitting there trying to track the miss down, this and that. You know, and of course, back then you used to yank plugs, see the condition of the plugs. And,
right.
You know, I remember pulling, I tracked it down to, I think it was number two cylinder. I pulled out number two cylinder, and it's like, yeah, this plug looks okay, and put it back in.
You saw in your head, PO302.
Yeah, something like that, yeah. Well, long story short, I pulled out the plug again because now we broke out the scope.
Right.
First time we used the scope, and then... I was like, wow, this looks like a foul plug. Pull it out. It looks clean. Sure enough, I'm looking at the plug. And you know how you hold the plug? You hold it by the white porcelain. You look at the electrode. I don't know why. I kind of turned it, and all of a sudden, the porcelain around the electrode slid down, which is how it was in the car.
Oh, my word.
And that particular brand of spark plug, I have not used for 25 years.
And that could have just been an anomaly.
Yeah, but I was pissed.
Well, you know,
speaking of being pissed,
we're coming up on our first break, so we're going to do that. I know we got to call. We're going to get back to that. This is something, Joe, that during the free for all program, I wanted to play for the guys in the UD.
The UD. Hopefully they're awake.
But we didn't get to. So you know what? Let's listen to it now here on Motormouth Radio. Yeah. We'll take a quick
break.
And call.
Give us a couple minutes and give us a holler back in about maybe 3 to 4 minutes. Okay?
It'll be quick, and we'll be back right where you got it. So hang in there.
I'm Rob Leonard. Join me for the free-for-all every Sunday, 10 a.m. to 12 noon. The free-for-all is a free-form mix of rock and roll. If you remember, rock radio used to mix it up, but now they just play Hotel California every 18 hours. It's not a law, but they're working on it. So join me for the free-for-all every Sunday, 10 a.m. to 12 noon. Replays every Saturday morning, 5 a.m. to 7 a.m. right here on 90.3 WHPC, the voice of Nassau Community College, streaming at ncc.edu/WHPC.
Every sound, every note, including the bass, on this track is played by a monkey.
American Hit Radio, Wednesdays and Fridays at 5 p.m. on the Voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC.
About you, but even being a drummer, Mel Shacker is the one of the bass players in my life that really turns my tuning peg.
That's it. Drops it down a couple of octaves there. Yeah.
Oh boy.
Good old Mel.
Absolutely. So
the enemy of speakers everywhere.
I know. Back on Motormouth Radio. Let's go back to the phones and say hi. You're on with the Motormouths.
Ray.
Yes.
Joe, it's Glenn.
Hey Glenn.
What's happening, man?
How you doing?
Good.
Hey, I'm not going to let this go by. You guys did a great job for the last 2 hours.
Cool.
You played great music all the way through, but you did ruin my Sunday because I'm sitting here for 3 hours doing nothing but listening to you guys.
Yeah, I copy that.
Well, we've always been known as a bad influence, so, you know.
Ray's the only guy I could send, like, the most obscure music to, and he appreciates it. I always email him something, and he's, like, right on it right away.
Yes, Ray is definitely at the top of the list there of musical archives between his ears, that's for sure. I have one other friend who is also in that same zone, but Ray's just like, he scares me sometimes, he really does.
I feel like I'm at my wake. You know?
Well, I mean, you would scare me in a different way than if you got up, but yeah, that's not...
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thanks for that, Glenn. We appreciate the kind thoughts for the effort, because that was only the tip of the iceberg. I mean, I could have gone, like, for another couple days.
As opposed to
I realized, I was going to send you some stuff to play. I realized you have an agenda. I know you sat down and laid out a bunch of music, so what's the point of asking you to play anything? Because I know you laid out a bunch of stuff.
Well, Ray is not a willy-nilly dude, that's for sure.
I did, and I didn't get to play a lot of it, because I really, not being a DJ, I didn't add up the track times to see how long. I didn't know if I had enough for 4 hours or if I was going to be short, and I figured, you know what, we'll just wing it. It's, you know.
That's okay, I'm short.
We're fill-in guys, so what the heck, you know.
Yeah.
But I wanted to get to some Junior Brown, which I didn't get to do. That was one of the ones you had requested. So,
well, let's face it, car guys have their preferences of music, and hopefully we reflected that as opposed to the more typical stuff there, you know?
Glenn, let me ask you this. What was your take on that Bill Kershaw rendition of Hot Rod Lincoln?
Oh, that was great.
You know, saw him live, and he does 4 minutes in the middle of that song of other people's guitar styles, and I watched him live. He doesn't retune. He doesn't switch guitars. He may use an effects pedal here and there, but that's all on an old, worn-out Telecaster.
There's a blues guitarist who does that in the middle and starts playing all the different styles of blues guitars. I can't remember what his name is, but it's like I told you, like, sometimes I'll sit down and I'll just put in certain songs and type the word cover afterwards, and then you hear all these obscure versions and people that pick up the same style. But with blues guitars, you know it, right? You can hear it, like, in a couple chords exactly who it is.
Right, right. Yeah, they have a signature sound, exactly.
Yeah. So now the car stuff. You guys were talking about loyalty to brands, right?
Yes.
Sure, yeah, absolutely.
From the day I got my driver's license, started doing my own oil changes, I got stuck on Castrol GTX for some reason. And I remember a friend of mine, unnamed, Ray's going to know who I was talking about. And he owned a shop, and he told me that Castrol GTX blows motors up.
Huh. Really?
That you can't use Castrol GTX, it ruins engines, from his experience. And I'm laughing, because who's the biggest Castrol GTX guy? Is John Force,
John,
right?
John Force, yeah.
Yeah.
It always cracked me up, people's loyalties to certain products and even the name. I mean, I'm not a Ford guy. Ray knows I'm a Mopar guy. But you know what? There's some Fords out there I like too, so I'm not going to say Ford thing because I'm a Mopar guy.
Sure, sure. No, as you get on, you know, as you get more experience, you used to, you know, at one point in your life, you might have been a Chevy guy or a Mopar guy or a Pontiac guy or whatever. And then as you go along, you say, hey, you know, I know that's not my brand, but that is a cool car. And, you know, whether it's, yeah, you know, it's from another manufacturer or whatever, and you say, hey, that ain't so bad. And then you learn to appreciate anything with four wheels and some of your blood on it. You know,
Glenn,
that's my point in my blog all the time. I mean, I know Ray's not a foreign car guy, but you know what? I'll go to a
Ray's
car
an American
show with his foreign cars, and I'll appreciate him.
Well, sure. I have three foreign cars in the household, two Japanese, one Italian. But Glenn, just so people know, this would be Glenn's intro song.
Mopar, no car.
Oh, yeah. I love that.
Right? There you go.
Mopar, no car.
That's right.
We played that when when we had Mark Warman on.
Yeah.
So now you two have been linked officially.
That's
a great song, man.
Yeah. The name of the band is called Slant Six.
Just in case there was any doubt, yeah?
You figure they would have been like the Hemi Hunters or something, you know. I don't know. But, you know, you with the oil, you're right. I know going back to when I first started out in my car adventure, later on I was able to backtrack this. I was a Castrol GTX guy myself. Of course, I was using 2050 because most of my motors were kind of loose. And because of that, at one point I'd seen Valvoline. And I looked at it and said, oh, my God, this stuff is like water. It's so
Yeah,
thin.
I was just about to say. That was what it had the reputation of being.
So
yeah.
In my opinion, it was like, no, stay Valvoline. No, my motor, I was just going to burn it out, so that's why I couldn't use it. Again, plenty of guys have Valvoline as a sponsor, and it's great oil.
Yeah, yeah. So. Well,
but you know why I wound up with Castrol?
Why is that?
Because, remember the TSS stores?
I was just going to say, I used to buy Foxhead at TSS.
Foxhead.
I'll tell you about Foxhead. That was my next story. TSS always had a sale on 12 quarts, a case of Castrol GTX, when oil was actually priced realistically, and it wasn't $7 a quart.
69 cents a quart, yep.
Yep. And now Foxhead story. My friend had a 427 Impala that unfortunately someone had taken the 427 out of it. It was a convertible 427 SS.
Nice.
And it was a four-speed car.
Oh.
Someone had put a 327 in it that burnt oil like crazy.
Mm. Ah, a 327 diesel, yeah.
We used to take my old oil and use it in the car because it was burning it. And then we built a 427 for it. Wasn't numbers matching. It was actually a 396-30L, but someone else found that out later when they bought the car.
Mm.
He bought Foxhead on sale in the gallons and put it in the engine. He only did the cylinder heads in it. And put the engine back together, and it blew the engine. And he still had the other 3 gallons. He opened up the third gallon. It wasn't oil.
What was it?
Really?
It had the consistency of water and a smell more like gear oil.
And he
took the open gallon, broken parts from his engine, and the 2 sealed gallons to a lab someplace in New Jersey. They paid him right away.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
And then we rebuilt the engine. But that's my Foxhead oil story.
Wow,
that's scary stuff.
Foxhead, and apparently it wasn't oil or something in the gallon.
It was probably like they probably took some 90 weight and added water to it and shook it up and figured no one will know. That reminds me when I worked in an auto parts store. This is 1976, right in Limbrook on Sunrise Highway. It's not there anymore. And it was a very cold winter. So my boss, who had come from Maspeth, he said, come on, we got to go pick up antifreeze. We ran short. We sold it all out. So we went to these guys that he worked for somewhere in Brooklyn or Queens. I don't remember where. There was an L. So it was probably Brooklyn. And we picked up, you know, he's doing a deal. He goes, okay, you know, go in the back, you know, load like 12 cases into his 72 GTO. So I'm out there schlepping the cases into the car. Bring them back to the store. I have them in the back of our store. Now, it was the next day. I'm going to pack them out, put them in, make a display in the front. And I had to grab the boss. I won't use his name, but I said, boss, I said, we got a problem. As I hold up 2 gallons of this, I guess it was Xerox or whatever it was. He said, what's the matter? I said, we can't really sell this the way it is. He goes, why? And as I clinked the plastic containers together, it was like dunk, dunk, dunk. Like they're frozen solid.
Oh, shit.
Because they'd been in the back of the guy that he had worked for was cutting the antifreeze. And guess what? He cut it a little too much.
Oh, jeez.
So, and he says, you know what? Put it out anyway. It'll thaw out in front of the store. I'm like, oh, jeez.
Oh, man.
So, yeah, auto parts stories, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff out there that somehow makes it through the pipeline. I mean, at one time, you know, I mean, people slap labels on things, or they make look-alike labels. I mean, I used to get a lot of complaints for different parts that, like, oh, this blah 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 fill in the blank is no freaking good. They would send it back as a as a warranty, and, you know, the, this thing blew up my engine, or, you know, there was some kind of horror story associated. And it wasn't even our part. It said, you know, had my company's logo on it. It was like, yeah, but that's not our part.
Right.
You know what I mean? And then you'd have to show them a picture of, you know, the real thing. And, mm-hmm. you know, so, I mean, part counterfeiting has always been around.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? And whether it's, you know, actual hard parts or chemicals. I mean, chemicals, that's real easy to probably duplicate, especially back in the day.
Oh, sure, sure.
Like that Foxhead thing. Somebody must have diverted it, or diverted the real stuff, or they had a really tough time at the refinery that week or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
Something went wrong.
Yeah.
Weird stuff. But, you know, there's like thousands of stories out from the trenches, and, you know, it's luckily now you have caps that have, you know, the plastic mm-hmm. locks on them, so mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. tamper-proof type of stuff.
Right.
So.
But that's the thing. All it takes is one time, and if it causes a particular amount of havoc, most people are turned off from that brand for...
Well...
Decades.
I tell you what, I didn't buy any freeze from the store I worked in for a while. I went to Autobahn down the road.
Yeah. No, it happens.
Which is still there.
It is. It used to be, if you looked at Autobahn now, the way it was a small store next to that it was a narrow storefront that went deep. And I guess they had parts upstairs and downstairs. Then they expanded to that location. I guess it was somewhere back in the late 70s. Yeah, right around the late 70s, they took out that big... All the Autobahns got large at that time. That's just more stories from the trenches, but...
Yep, but there's always one part. I mean, I have a tendency, I think I told Ray this, I'll save a part that went bad. That's like a new part that's defective.
Right.
And I'll keep it around so I can walk past it and curse at it for like 2 years.
mechanics have car guys in general that tend to hold grudges big time.
Yeah, we do.
You know, I happen to be around them all the time, whether it's at my regular job or at my other job or just hanging around with my friends, and we're all the same way. Ah, that piece of crap! I ain't gonna put one of that in my car. I'll go drive 50 miles and get the other brand or whatever, just so I don't have to.
Right.
Yeah, I hear you.
Well, people are like that with waxes, too, I find funny. Like,
yes.
Certain brands of waxes, they'll drive to the end of the earth or go on the internet to find a particular wax. Like, I don't know how much different any can be, but some people just, they will not. There's people still looking for Simon. I remember the old Simon Eyes.
Simon Eyes, yeah.
Chris has some. You got to have that blue coral or the black ice.
Yes, blue coral.
Somebody was looking for Gliptone, and it hit me. I said, can they still make Gliptone?
You want to know something? Going home Friday afternoon, going up Northern Boulevard, I actually passed a Gliptone truck.
Wow.
Yeah, one of them big...
Did you slide right by?
Yeah, as a matter of fact...
And the Gliptone driver pulled over.
As a matter of fact, it made getting through that particular piece of traffic real easy, you know?
Nice.
It slid right through it.
Very yeah. good. Very good.
No, they're still out there, though. They still exist.
All right, Glenn.
Well, good job. I say, they tell you to keep your day job. I don't know. You guys should think about another career there, I think, maybe.
Maybe in retirement that might be the thing to do, because I would love to do that. Are you kidding me? That would be something. That or owning a hardware store, the two things I think I'd like to do. So.
Oh, yeah, hardware. I'm a big hardware fan myself.
Maybe I'll have a hardware store with a little radio studio in the front or the back or something.
There you go.
Power tools.
Okay, guys. Good job.
All right, Glenn. Thanks a lot, buddy.
Thank you, Glenn.
Take care.
All right. Take care.
So long. Our buddy Scotty Gossin has weighed in, Joe, as you reported, and he was very happy. I didn't get to play anything from the Scotty Gossin combo. Scotty Gossin did make our promo that's in the beginning of the show.
Yes.
He's got a lot of stuff. A lot of it's instrumental. Mm-hmm. So I was going to play some of it. We just didn't get to it, and I apologize for that. But I have to mention that there is something I do listen to regularly, and it's the Rare Groove Session. It's our buddy Earl who does that. The show's Saturday at midnight. And he says, you know, you take a mind excursion into soul music. DJ Solero, that's Soul Air O, will cover the artists of the 60s and 70s with an accent on rock. And with that, we're going to take a quick break and come back in a minute or two. And, you know, let's see what's hooking with good old Earl.
Hey, have you seen DJ Solero?
No. Why?
Well, he was supposed to be here right now to tell everyone about his show, The Rare Groove Session, but I can't find him anywhere.
I'll keep my eyes peeled. Maybe he went to get something to eat.
Food? He went to get food? I mean, who can eat at a time like this?
Relax. I'm sure everyone will figure out when they can listen to the most incredible music from the 60s and 70s that they may have not heard before.
But what if they can't? What if they never figure out when the Rare Groove Session is on? What happens then, huh? I don't want to live in a world where no one knows about the Rare Groove Session.
Hey guys, ready to tell everyone about RGS?
DJ Solero, where the f*** have you been?
I was getting something to eat.
How can you eat at a time like this?
What are you talking about?
Don't mind her. Go ahead. Tell everyone when to listen.
Okay, then. If you're looking to hear some mind-blowing music, check out the Rare Groove Session Friday nights at midnight on The Voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC.
Hi, this is Rita Monte. Would you like to take a trip to romantic Italy with me? Let's go together every Thursday with Profumi d'Italia. You will hear and savor Italy's soul with music from yesterday and today. Learn about Italy's museums, countryside, restaurants, festivals, and wineries. Most of all, you will learn about Italy's history and its people. Thursdays at 5 p.m., experience the essence of Italy on the Voice of Nassau Community College 90.3 WHPC.
Motor Mouth Radio, back on the air. Ray Guarino, Joe D. Give us a call, 516-572-7440. Check us out at motormouthradio.com or Twitter, Motor Mouth Radio on Twitter. They got me
We're on
twitting
Facebook
now.
Too, yeah.
I gotta learn how to twit,
but
it's not hard. If you do
really?
Facebook, it's just the interface is like, I'm always thinking, okay, what's that little button do? What's that? You learn by doing
yeah.
It's a couple
pretty
things.
Much, though, you know, a lot of that stuff, most people do it by phones or
right.
tablets or something, and right. I usually, my fat fingers, God only knows what I'd broadcast out there or whatever, so I have to wait till I get in front of a regular keyboard.
You can do it on a keyboard, too, but the phone is the platform that most people prefer.
Yeah.
And, they got me kicking and screaming, but I've been doing it. Let's kick and scream back over here, kick the phone jack on the wall and say, hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hey, how's it going? This is Steve Webb.
Hey, Steve.
Celebrity Chase.
Excellent.
Hey, man.
Steve, how are you?
What's going on?
Yeah, good. I got a great product loyalty story.
Bring it.
Yeah. It's about Quaker State Oil, you know. It's funny.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
I'm so loyal to that product because back when I was a kid, probably about 15 years old, reading in Mechanics Illustrated magazine, they had a little ad in there. It says, send away for a free decal. And I said, I want that for the mini bike. So I sent away for the free decal. Well, they sent me so much Petroliana that you would not believe it. I wish I had it today. All kinds of posters and decals and you name it, all kinds of things like that. To this day, I cannot buy anything but Quaker State Oil because of that. Something on sale, like a competitor's brand on sale next to it, I gotta buy Quaker State. And I've been that way my whole life. Since I'm 15 years old. It's amazing.
You know, they got you
indoctrinated.
They got you hooked cheap. And I think, the last call we had on Glenn, he does a blog called the Car Hunter blog. You can look it up. I don't remember the full URL. Just search for Car Hunter and you'll get the blog. I think he might have done something on Quaker State a while back, a long while. But
yeah.
So is that?
But it was amazing. I had stickers on my mini bike. Every kid on the block had a Quaker State sticker. I got so much stuff from them, and little did they know they were sending it to a 15-year-old kid. But I became a loyal buyer of that product. I can't buy anything else.
How did you? What was your
out good, right? For them, at least.
Steve, what was your proclivity with tools? Did you have a bias that way, too?
Well, of course, the king of tools, Snap-on. Being a professional mechanic or body man, whatever you want to call me, you always, that's the holy grail, Snap-on tool when you bought your first Snap-on set. But, of course, everybody's starting out. had that little Craftsman toolbox.
Right.
Okay, nothing wrong with it. With your little, you know, 3/8 drive ratchet set and your,
sure.
and your screwdriver set, you know. And I remember taking that little toolbox and hitchhiking up to Hicksville and getting my first job. You know, so,
well,
yeah, everybody, you know, Craftsman tools, you know, of course, you'll start out with that, and then you step up as you go along.
And I've seen your tool collection. It is quite vast. And like the rest of us, I know you have a collection. We all have, I don't know anybody who has just one brand of tools. We all have a variety of things for various
sure.
reasons. And
What happens, I mean, a lot of guys, what happens is that, They have different boxes. I know I started out with a lot of Craftsman, which I used for quite some time, and I well into my professional time, in my professional career, I was still using those certain Craftsman tools that I just got comfortable with as mm-hmm. as I could afford, and as I could afford the Matco or the Snap-on or whatever. But what happens is you have the Craftsman box or maybe the SK box. There was a couple different companies out there that made like sort of the lower line but good tools, and then you work your way up to the true pro stuff.
Yeah.
And then as you got better, you kind of retired that box. You know, that one stayed in the garage at the house. When you're at the shop, you had your real stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But, yeah, you became a dyed-in-the-wool whoever.
You know,
also, whoever the truck showed up the most.
Yeah.
And
you know what happened with me was, early on, like I said, started with, you know, SK and some Williams and whatever else was around, but leftover stuff. But the first toolboxes I bought were Craftsman, because you can go to the store, you could charge them, you could pay it off. And I said, then I found Snap-on tools and started to buy them and said, you know what? Of course, the next step was going to be on the tool truck. Wow, how about these nice Snap-on boxes? I said, you know what? For the cost of those toolboxes, I could buy a boatload I could buy a ton of tools.
Yeah.
You know, so why invest in the box? I eventually
Absolutely.
Did because I got a super special deal. But
it is
you know, even out at Harbor Freight, you look at the boxes they sell. I got to say, that is a nice roller drawer.
Yeah,
type of box, really nice stuff.
Things have kind of, the gulf between the cheapo tools and the I should say the economy tools and the top of the line tools. The gulf is narrowed. It's not. It's by no means not the same thing, but it's the gap is definitely narrowed. I remember being taught by one of my mentors. As a matter of fact, he was an alumni of this show, and he was like, "The last thing you want to buy is a big honking fancy schmancy Snap-on toolbox. Take all that money." Buy tools, fill up your Craftsman box, fill up your whatever you got there. And then when you're finally done, when you got the last tool, that's when you go out and you buy the fancy box.
Right.
You never get to the last tool.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, it's funny because, Ray, you saw my toolbox, you know, and basically body men work a little differently. You know, we're all over the shop, you know, so... we may be in one bay, we might be in outside, we might, you know, be all over the place. So we have to bring our tools to the job. So a mechanic more or less stays in one bay, he has the hood open, he turns around, he opens a drawer, he takes out a wrench, you know, does his thing, puts the wrench back, takes out a screwdriver, back and forth. But we're all over the place. So I got everything in tool bags.
I was going to say...
So if I need a hammer, a body hammer, I take the whole bag of body hammers over to the job.
A bag of hammers.
I was just about to say that there's some kind of intelligence quotient that's associated with a bag.
You know, Steve, I've actually spoke about your tool theory on the show in the past because I like it so much. And
you
said, you do have separate bags. There's an American, there's a metric bag, there's a hammer bag,
which is a great idea,
and some of those bags are on wheels.
Because we have to go to the job. You know, so where a mechanic is like in bay number one, and the job comes to him, and then they jockey the car out, another car comes in. Back
that depends on the shop.
Well,
I mean,
where I'm at,
which is like, you know, pretty much a rolling circus. Everybody's got a wagon. Everybody's got one of them tool carts. You know, they've got their main box, which they, because you don't know, for whatever reason, like I'm outside with cars, you know, the cars are no start or whatever, or I don't need a lift, and the guys in there are in there doing brake jobs or whatever, they're using the lift. And I got to bring my stuff out. And, you know, rather than trying to, like, jerk everything in my arms, you know what I mean? I'd rather have something with wheels. But the bag thing works, too.
Well, let me ask you guys a question, both of you. I had this conversation with Mike Jr. over at Chase Collision at the Oceanside Shop. We were talking about tool storage, and I explained how I'm a big fan of my wrench rails and socket rails.
Oh, yeah.
And the reason is, at the end of the day, I clean those tools and
I
put them away. And you know, right, you take roll call, and you know what's missing. Where's that 9/16? Where's the 10 millimeter? But now with you guys using either a tool cart or, Steve, like a tool bag, what happens then? Do you find that sometimes stuff's missing because you don't do a daily head count?
Basically, what's going to be missing is your 10-millimeter socket, your 13-millimeter socket, and your 15-millimeter socket.
Right.
That's what we use the most. You know, so you buy multiples of those.
Cause right, God right, knows, right.
You know, as you get older, your short-term memory leaves you, and you put
what?
That 10-millimeter down,
talking about?
And where the hell did it go? You know, so you just pick up another one until you find that one. You
10-millimeter tools, whether they be sockets or wrenches or ratcheting wrenches, they evaporate.
Yeah.
I swear that there's some kind of subspace pocket that they drop into.
That it's like that missing socket in a dryer, you know?
Get out of my head. That's it.
Again, for some reason, yeah.
Right. So, someday somebody's going to come up with some type of trans-dimensional tapping.
Yeah.
A whole bunch of these things are going to fall out of the sky, and there's going to be free 10 millimeters for the entire population
and
of the planet.
Socks.
And socks, yes. And they can put the 10 millimeters in a sock.
Good tools, cheap. Okay, and I tell this to my students all the time. I say you check yard sales. Okay,
yeah.
So, but you gotta be crafty about it. So if you go down a block and you see a bunch of plastic toys and clothes out front, keep going. That's nothing for you. But if you see an old lady sitting in a lawn chair with a little cigar box, you stop. Okay, because chances are her husband worked for Grumman's. All right, and he's long gone, and she's selling all his tools. All right, so it's amazing. Those guys from Grumman's, what they pinched over the years, that are in their basement.
You know, Steve,
most quality tools in the world.
I'll tell you a quick story on that. I actually went and bought a car in Queens Village. It was a 65 Chevelle, and it was, the attached houses with the garage that goes down under the living room, big cast iron radiator in the back, and I'm looking around the garage, and I see these stainless steel bins, but they look kind of crude. They had rolled edges. The thing that caught my eye when I rolled up to the house was everybody had those wooden flower boxes outside the living room windows. Most of them had rotted away. The brick building stood. But this house had a perfect flower box. And I looked closer. It was stainless steel. Found out the woman who was selling the car, it was her father who had been a Grumman, a sheet metal worker. He made all this stuff out of stainless steel.
Absolutely.
And then, drill bits. And she goes, listen, if you want any of that stuff, take it. And I did. I said, hell yeah. And they look like meatloaf pans. They're kind of the size of I don't know what the application was, but let me tell you something. Handcrafted, I will keep
that forever.
Aircraft
meatloaf.
Aircraft meatloaf. Yeah. So you're right. You never know what you're going to find.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Those Grumman guys are amazing. Each one of them had their own little government job on the side.
Right.
You know, making something, you know. And then they would barter and trade off. The guy in the welding would weld something for the guy in the sheet metal shop and go back and forth, and... They had some little network over there.
Absolutely.
You know, but it's long gone. Yeah.
No, but you know what? We can, as ambassadors, pass that on, like you said, to your students, to people you work with, to people, to kids in the family, whoever it is. That's kind of, I look at that as our job, to keep that stuff alive and at least keep the memory of it alive.
Yeah, absolutely. It's because when I'm teaching at Bosie's, I teach the auto body class there, and I teach my class exactly the way I learned. So I'm passing down a lot of the old metalworking techniques that are basically long gone. You know, now in the auto body field, with aftermarket parts, it's a lot cheaper to teach a guy how to remove 7 bolts and slap on a new fender rather than straighten it. And nobody knows how to do metal straightening anymore. So I'm probably the last generation of body men that still kind of do it. So I'm definitely teaching my students that as we go along.
Yeah, otherwise it'll become a lost art, and there's still plenty of cars.
Absolutely.
You can't really do too much on these new recycled beer can cars. But
when I took my filler panel for my Pontiac out to my buddy TJ, and with a hammer and a dolly, he had that thing shaped in like 7 minutes.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, you're doing a restoration where parts aren't available.
Yeah.
I know there's a lot of available restoration parts now more than ever, but some things just aren't available, and you have to straighten them.
Right.
So,
craftsmanship.
You got to take it to an old gray-haired or bald-headed body, and he'll do it for you. You know,
any of the above. You're right. All right, Steve. Well, we're gonna take a break. I thank you for calling. It's been a while. I know I've been busting your chops every time I see you.
That was very educational.
Yeah. So I'm glad I called. Yeah, and I'm gonna go over to the Auto-Z and have a little open air.
Okay. Feel free whenever you want. Call or we'll get you in here. You sit with us and do the show live one day.
Oh, that'd be great.
Have some fun. All right, Steve.
Bye-bye.
Thanks
bye-bye.
A lot. Bye-bye. Oh, that was Steve from the Auto-Z and Chase Collision, which was great. And Steve was the guy where I worked on a Camaro over the summer. Steve came down to do a string level on the suspension.
Right.
That was the guy. Steve is a wealth of information, great guy to work with. And you know what? Great guys to work with. I heard, no, we had that already. No, you know what? There was. That was the other show, right. I forgot if I did it on this show or that show. You know what? We're going to take a break. We'll come back. And if
break
I have,
it down.
If I have dementia, what the heck? Anyway, Motormouth Radio, keep it where you got it. We'll be right back.
Whoa. These guys are the kings of rock. There is none higher. That was cool.
I'm sitting here lonely like a broken man. I serve my time doing the best I can. Walls and bars, they surround me. But I don't want no sympathy.
Come on, everybody. Let's sing along with Bruce.
Join me, Kim Tracy, for the music of Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band on Thunder Road, Sundays at 1 p.m. on the voice of Nassau Community College 90.3 WHPC and on the iHeartRadio app.
It's now easier to listen to the voice of Nassau Community College on your phone.
Stay connected to your favorite radio station anywhere you go on the iHeartRadio app.
Never miss shows like the Nassau Morning Madhouse, It's Saucy, or the Radio Rumble Again.
Streaming 24/7, 365. Listen to WHPC everywhere.
iHeartRadio is radio and unlimited music all in one app.
Listen live now in the iHeartRadio app and at iHeartRadio.com.
Just search for 90.3 WHPC.
Yes, Joe, I do feel good. I do feel all right.
Na-na-na-na-na-na.
Oh, wait a minute.
That's a good thing.
Is Grand Funk Railroad, Inside Looking Out. There's a couple of versions of that. The live version really kicks butt.
That's the great Grand Funk Live, yep.
Mm-hmm. The Red Album, yep.
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, my God. Bada bing.
did Mark Farner own any shirts in the 1970s?
Yeah, I don't think so.
It was like him and William Shatner, like they never wore shirts.
Right. I know. Well, you know, Shatner was kind of ripped back then. I mean, he was in that kind of, like you know, when you saw pictures of Charles Atlas in the back of the comic books, or there was another guy, Dan Lurie, who had the Weight Company.
Right.
Those guys weren't ripped like Schwarzenegger became in his career, but they had that solid
body.
They
had different chemicals back then.
And Shatner, I forget the episode where Shatner was, he was wrestling. There was another guy, it was a crewmate, and they were wrestling around the room. He was trying to toughen him up or something or get him used to the interaction with people. That's what it was. The guy was
Charlie X.
Thank you, Charlie X. Yes. And you do scare me.
Took me a second because I was thinking like three other episodes. You know, but okay, so enough of William Shatner without a shirt and Mark Farner for that matter.
Yeah, it was more of that, you know, just we go back to this again, of course.
Of course.
This is what's in your head.
Right.
If you listen to your other ear.
Right, it's coming right out.
I know.
Well, no, the other ear is Next Generation.
I just put the mic near your head, yeah. That was the thing. But yeah, in that episode, I'm like, wow, look at him. And they got, you know, he was in damn good shape. for a TV and
there's also like 32. Come on, give me a break here.
I guess that's a fact.
That don't help things. Yeah, that don't hurt things neither. You know,
you're right.
But let's go back to what were we talking about? Tools, brand loyalty.
Well, we were talking about the brand loyalty thing. Yes, and it, obviously we all share it. We all have it in different ways. And you know, I was just, it's just a topic that I think one of those things you can always spark a conversation on.
Sure, you know. Sure. You know, unfortunately, like I know, I was, as I got more and more into the professional end of things, I tried to stick with the top quality tools. But every once in a while, I mean, especially like some of the stuff I use, you can't, like, a Snap-on test light, I don't know, last I looked, it was like $60.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's unfortunately, you know, doing what I do, riding around or, you know, being in a certain place, in multiple places, they disappear. They get run over. They get caught in all kinds. So I... Yeah.
People use them to get pickles out of the jar.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you could also have like those fish... you know, spear fishing contest. So it's great. You throw the test light. You know, reel back. It's like one of that Halloween game too.
Yeah.
But you know, like I buy Harbor Freight test lights. Well, you've been with me.
Sure.
I buy like three or four of them in a clip for like $5 a piece because it's a test light.
You get $3.99. But you know what I mean? You're right.
You know, and I'll use those as opposed to you know, the fancy schmancy stuff. Although I do own. That's one day we're going to talk more about test lights. I do own fancy schmancy test lights. I do own custom test lights, which really cracks a couple of my mentors up because I originally was like, "Oh no, you have to use a meter." They're like, "But what about a test light?"
And does now, have its place.
Yes, it certainly does, and especially if once you learn what it is supposed to be doing and what it can do, it's a great tool.
It's like when I talk to people about meters, and I say, you know, not everybody needs it, but sometimes there is a case to have an analog meter with an actual dial sweep instead of a digital.
Yes, absolutely.
And again, there's a time and a place. But to back up, you sparked a memory of me with tools, why I switched to Snap-on tools and other brands. I had just I was investing heavily in Craftsman at the time. This is back in the late 70s. And I had a Datsun 610, which had a independent rear suspension. And I wanted to take those half shafts out to change the U-joints.
Right.
I went home, jacked the car up, got my brand-new Craftsman 10-millimeter or 12-millimeter wrench, whatever it was, and went to loosen the nut, and I felt the jaw of the wrench spread. And I said, okay, that gave me a flashback to the year prior when I was putting, I don't know if I was putting on or taking off the ladder bars on my GTO. And I had two half-inch drive ratchets. One was a Craftsman, one was probably a Proto or a Williams. And I was pushing on one, pulling on the other, laying under the car.
And one of them let go.
And the pulling one slipped, bang, right in, put my tooth through my lip, through my tongue. Of course, my mom comes out with a frozen bag of peas, a piece of pork, a spitting blood like a madman. Well, I flashed back to that incident. So I got the wrench under the car. I said, okay. Put the wrench down, put it in the thing, got in my car, drove to the shop, the electric shop I was working at. I had keys, opened up, went in, and borrowed the Snap-on wrench set.
Right.
Came home, did the same job without flexing. I said, that's it. Monday morning, who wants to buy some Craftsman line wrenches and regular combination wrenches? That's the sale. Mm-hmm. And then that's when I started buying the Snap-on stuff.
Yeah, I mean, there are plenty of times... depending on you know, what level you're working at, that the quality tool really shows its
shows its colors. Attack mechanics.
Yes, and I know that both of us have in all kinds of places scars, welts, missing or repositioned.
Yeah, you know, body modification.
Yeah, really.
And neither one of us have any piercings.
I was about. See, I was about to say, yeah, we were body modified before it was cool.
Yeah, I got a couple tattoos, but no piercings or gauges or anything like that. But I look sometimes at my hands. I'm like, oh yeah, I remember what that scar was. I remember the roadmap of my deep scars.
Sure, I mean, there's places on most car guys' bodies have at least a couple of burns, a couple of scars. You know that you could remember very well where you got it from.
Got bit on the left one and have the scar to prove it.
Yes, that's it. Been there, done that, got the teeth marks on my left one.
Exactly.
Yeah, Jim, you can break any kind of wrench, given Jim just shot, Ryan just got it, just shot us a comment. You could break any friggin' thing.
I actually sent an email to Discovery Channel, Fast and Loud. I think it was in their first season. They had a graphic of crossed wrenches, and then they had like a little like a meme thing. It was a wrench on a nut, and it just turned it like 90 degrees.
Right.
But the wrench was upside down. You know, the open end of the joist. Yeah, yeah. Wrenches are made to be used a certain way, right?
Exactly.
And I wrote to them, apparently enough people did because they fixed it to have the wrench open it.
They're correct,
like, close
yeah.
it in the correct.
Right.
So
right.
you know what? Car guys, we see that stuff.
Yeah. You know, yeah, we're watching you TV folks.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to keep you honest one way or the other. That is assuming that we're either awake or sober enough to actually watch the
catch
show.
On, catch on demand.
Yeah. Well, that's the great thing about DVR. You could do playbacks.
Right.
And there's somebody. He's unzipping the overcoat again.
Oh, dang.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, then let's go to the phones and say hi. You're on with the Motormouths.
Hey, guys, it's Jim.
Hi, Jim.
Hey, Jim.
Yes, I know you can break just about anything if you give it enough force.
Oh, yeah.
I'll tell you, we're talking about brand loyalty and things like that. And, of course, the first thing anybody who works on cars is going to get is tools. And everybody, back in our day, everybody thought it were Craftsman because... The Sears was right there. You went in. They were a quality tool. And the best part was, if you broke it, you went back and you got a new one.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. The lifetime
guarantee was huge, yes.
Yeah, and, you know, of course, I don't do nearly as much work on cars as you guys do, but I do know my way around a car. And I did work at a race car shop for a little while. And yeah. The funny thing is that, you know, when I was at the race car shop, I was, you know, everybody had Snap-on tools, and I got my stupid little Craftsman box, and I kind of felt, you know, inadequate,
Yeah, you had a little bit of envy there, tool envy.
But there was one point where I finally saved up a couple dollars and said, you know what, I'm going to buy a set of Snap-on wrenches, because I got, you know, had the chance to use a couple of the Snap-on wrenches from the other guys. I'm like, wow, these things really are better than the Craftsman stuff I got.
Yeah, it was either buy that or a new transmission for the car, so you figure that price is about the same.
Yeah, right.
Well, I could always push the car, but anyway.
Yeah, true.
I remember, like, the Snap, I mean, I had Craftsman wrenches, which gave me good service for quite a while,
yeah.
But the way that they had that raised, that raised bump there, which I guess was reinforcement, and after a while, you know, depending on what you were doing, the repetitive motion, whatever, it would dig into your hand. There's the scars we're talking
and
about.
Of course, Joe, I have some Craftsman wrenches that had that. Keyword, had.
Yes.
They're so smooth from being used that
sure,
it does wear
sure.
off. So I think
right.
of how much, you know, how much that iron goes into your hand.
Right.
Where'd it go, right?
I am Iron Man.
Yeah. I actually had that CD in there, yeah.
Right.
So, and the price didn't play that anyway.
Yeah, well, we had quite the backlog. But yeah, no, tools make the as you get along, you definitely want to go with the better quality tool. But it's all
yeah. But I was, you know, the one thing I sent you real fast is I had the one 5/16 combination wrench. I was using the open end, and I'm using it. I'm thinking, well, it's snap on. That's going to happen. But all of a sudden, snap! I was like, what in the world?
Oh, well, there's the snap part.
Exactly. And I'm like, wow! I actually broke a snap on tool. I kind of felt proud of myself.
Yeah. No, I've seen guys do that. I've seen that one time at the shop where somebody was doing chin-ups with a Snap-on ratchet on this particularly tough bolt. And I was like, dude,
yeah.
It's, you know, come on. Yeah, it's a Snap-on. It'll
get
take
the breaker
it.
Yeah. bar.
Yeah, seriously. But sure enough, next thing you know, there's a big crease across his forehead and
yeah.
blood. And, you know, that's right. Yeah. So basically, at that point, we had a little electrical tape, couple of shop rags. He was back at work in 15 minutes.
Of course.
Yeah.
And the other thing about brand loyalty is, what happens when your brand lets you down?
Well, that's a good question. Yeah, that is. You know, do you move on or do you stick with it? I guess it all depends on the situation, I think, for me.
Well, real quick, it depends on two things. Number one, did it happen like once? Number two, did the company, you know, if they had, did they make good on it? Did they back you up? Customer support, like, oh, geez, you know, that happened. Let us send you a new tool or whatever the case may be. Or did they just say, oh, too bad for you and have a nice day? Yeah, that's another thing. Customer service, you know, that's got something
absolutely.
To do with it. Because everything made by human beings, which is pretty much anything we're going to come across in our travels, is going to get defective or whatever. As you know, one of my favorite sayings is new spells never ever worked.
Mm-hmm.
So at some point or another, it's going to screw up. It's how do they handle the screw-ups. To me, that's a big factor. Good point, Joe.
And that's one of the things happening to Craftsman because of Sears. And, you know, it's even got to the point where Sears is actually selling the Craftsman name, and now you see it in
like
True
Value
and stuff.
a number of other stores.
All right, Jim, we're going to have to cut on that because we have to go. We're at the end of our clock. Kim is here getting ready for our show.
Teeth marks for the clock, yes.
Ray, really, really fast. Whatever you do, don't open a hardware store. Joe will tell you why later.
All right. Thanks,
okay.
Jim.
Cool, man.
All right, so long.
Take care.
All right, Joe, next week I think we'll have Laura Adams from the Insurance Quotes Company
on. Oh, the Road Rage lady, right?
Road Rage, talking about Road Rage, yeah. So until then, Motormouth Radio, Ray Guarino, Joe D, stay tuned, Thunder Road, with Kim Tracy, and we'll see you next week.
We're going to go rest. Take care.
Bye.